All right, we're beginning here on the bottom of Ched Amud Bet, three lines from the bottom. Hitkadshi li bikikar says, I want to get married with this kikar, this loaf of bread. She says, Tnei Odeani, give it over to the poor person. Eina mikudeshet. That is not an acceptance of the kiddushin. He's offering up kiddushin as a loaf of bread. She directs him to give it to the ani. Eina mikudeshet. That does not generate kiddushin. Afilu ani asamuch Allah. Even if it's an ani who normally gets his means and his food from her, nevertheless, it's still not a reason to say that kiddushin go through. Even though we had said earlier that if she says tnei maneh l'ploni, give the money to the third party, we said before that that works as kiddushin. Rashi and Tosafot noted already in the previous cases that that's not the case. Dehatam ihi amra. She is the one who initiated in those cases miikara. Avakan mishatehibo. Here, he's the initiator, and she is just directing him. So if she initiates the interaction by saying, give it to so-and-so, then when he does give it and he follows through with it, then that generates kiddushin. She was the initiator of the interaction. According to Rashi, he still has to say, hitkashili, be whatever he does. Over here, since he's the initiator and she's the respondent, then we assume that it's mishateh anibacha. That she's just telling him, yeah, and she wants to get rid of him. Here, the Gemara gives a different reason, but similarly, we don't assume that the carrying out of her instructions is enough reason to generate the kiddushin, because my taima, amrolei, keichi demechayvina bei ano, just like I'm obligated to support this poor person, hachei mechayved beyat. So too, you are obligated to take care of this poor person, similar to the previous case, where he chases away the wild dog that was trying to bite her. So again, there she can say, you're obligated to save me irrespective if I agree to kiddushin. And same thing over here, you're obligated to support this ani irrespective of whether I am going to marry you or not. And therefore she can argue that the reason I said for you to do it is I want you to just do this mitzvah and take care of this mitzvah, but it has nothing to do with our kiddushin. So there was this individual, he was a salesman, whether it's an iterant salesman, somebody goes around. He used to wear on their neck, that seems to be at least what we get out of the words over here, they used to wear necklaces of the item that he was selling. So whether that is this patachiato is glass, some sort of glass item, or Rashi over here brings down that they were, if you look in the top, Rashi says buttons, shosim shel bdil, were made out of tin. So they were these tin buttons that were worn on a necklace around the neck. Now, whether they were sold individually or the whole necklace was sold as a whole, but something along those lines, he's a seller of this item. This woman shows up. Give me one, seems here, string. Give me one string of them. If I give it to you, I want you to marry me. I mean, that this will be the kesef kiddushin that I'm giving you. This will be shavah kesef. Amralei, Hava mi hava. Give it. So Amar Rav Chama says, Ko hava mi hava, lav klum hu. Whenever she says that, that's not considered to be anything, because we assume that she is interacting with him because she wants the item or she wants the necklace. She doesn't necessarily want the condition. And when she says in the end, just give it to me, her statement references back to the initiation of what's going on here, which is that she wants the necklace. Nothing to do with the kiddushin. He was drinking wine in the store. Pour me a cup of wine. If I give you the cup, marry me with this. Go ahead, I want a drink. Give me the drink. Again, says, again, there's no kiddushin generated. Because she's saying, I want to drink the drink. I'm not telling you I want to get married to you. I'm telling you that I simply want to drink the wine. How gavra? Tabakoshode tamre midikla. He was pulling off dates from the palm tree. Daya itata amrale shadili tarte. Toss me down two of them. Amrala isha dinalaich mikadesh itli. If I give you these two, you're going to be married to me. Amrale shadi mishto. Send them down. I want them. So again, here, Amarav Zvid, Koshadi Mishto Lav Klumho. Again, what seems to be the duplication of the language is what makes it that she's not married over here. You can see that in Rashi, it says, Kafalte the Dibura. She duplicated her language. Obviously, this is connected to what was the standard of speaking in those days. So over there, it seems to be that when you duplicate the language, you are saying, do the action, but I'm not accepting anything else that you're saying. I'm saying, I want a drink, give me the drink, give me the drink. That's all it means. It does not imply an acceptance of the proposal that he made. Tosfot asks your question as to why does the Gemara have to bring down three different cases to tell you the same thing, which is, in each case, the duplication of the Lashon tells you that it doesn't work. So Tosfot says, Hanach flat uvde itzrech lashminan. Meet all of them. Dishum davar imolil lo b'midi de'achila v'shtia v'shar mile. He says that you have different categories. We have eating, drinking, and then other items to show you that it doesn't work in any of these situations. We don't assume that there's kiddushin, or we don't assume there isn't kiddushin, but it would be in the other cases. So he says each one of them is a unique case. So now the Gemara asks, based on that, Ibailu, hav, ashke, vishadi, mahu. She only uses a single language, meaning that she only uses one verb here. Not, give me the drink, give me the drink, but rather, give me the drink. That's it. She only says it once. Lacks the duplication of the Lashon. What's the din? Amar Ravina Mikudeshet. Ravina says, that works. Rav Samar Barikta Amar, Taga de Malko, by the crown of the king, Eina Mikudeshet. She is not married. Seems over here, Taga de Malko, you can see in Rashi, is a Lashon Shavu'ah. So Lashon of taking Shavu'ah, like I swear by the crown of the king, that she's definitely not married over here. So Tosafot asks over here, Ve'im tomar migara matan ma'ot leploni demikudeshet. Again, Tosafot asks a similar question as to what we just mentioned before. When she tells the Baal to give the money to a third party, and then I'll marry you, it works. So why didn't we say the same thing over here again, which is that she is saying, give it to me. She says, give it to me. Why isn't that enough to generate kiddushin over here? So yesh lamar deshani hacha, timiikara ita shoelet shelo b'torat kiddushin. Because she started out on a different topic. So before, if she initiated, it would have worked. That's what we said in Rashi. Rashi and Tosfot said on the previous Amud, if she initiates, it's Kiddushin. If he initiates, it's not Kiddushin, because then she, when she says, give it to so-and-so, that doesn't mean that she wants Kiddushin, she's Meshatebo. But here she is the initiator. She would think it works. The answer is that it's different over here because the context in which it began was not Kiddushin. When she opened with saying, I want to drink wine, not that I want to get married. And that already takes it off topic. And therefore, when she again in the end affirms that she wants to drink, it's not because she wants to get married, she's referencing back to her original statement. So that's the way that Tosfot learns why this is different than the previous cases. The Tosfot Riya Zaken over here says that the reason it doesn't work is because he didn't say he touched Lee at the time that he was giving it to her. Umistavro de davka shlo amar la o davar. To a case where he didn't tell her anything else, elanatan biyada. But he just puts it into her hand. Aval, im amar la bishat nitina hariat mikudeshet libazeh. If he specifically states that when he gives it to her, when she says, I want to drink, that I want to get married this, vikablo, and she accepts it, badai hai hava mihava dikamar ritsuihu. Then that would be an acceptance of the marriage, umikudeshet. If she didn't want it, she wouldn't accept it. Meaning that if he specifically states when he's handing her the object, then you can't say that her statement is referencing back to her original statement. Here he's making it clear that the giving is in the context of kiddushin. And therefore, if she didn't want it, she wouldn't accept it. Because she has no reason to take them. They're not hers for any reason. So the Tosfot Riya Zaken here gives an alternate reason as to why it fails here as opposed to the other case. Is because here he doesn't say Hariat Mikudeshet Li. And that failure, so obviously if he does say it, and then she takes it, that would be a reason to say that she got married. The Rashba over here says that he used a Lashon She'ila. He used a questioning rather than a statement. He doesn't say Hariat Mikudeshet Li as a statement of fact. He asks the question of Hariat Mikudesh Ali, will you marry me with this? So therefore, it's not a definitive statement about his action, it's a question. When she says, give it to me, she's not saying that I accept the Kiddushin. She's simply saying, I want it. Right? So that I'm playing, or she's playing around with him because he's just asking. But in the case where it's misstatement of fact, and then he hands it to her, then that would be Kiddushin if she accepted it. So the problem here is in the tone of how he presented it, rather than the language that he used to present it. All right, so now the Gemara here brings conclusion to the last couple of dapim that we had learned here, which is Hilchata Eina Mikudeshet. Number one, in our case here, the case where they use the single Lashon, we say Eina Mikudeshet, so that it doesn't work whether she uses the double Lashon or the single Lashon. It's not an acceptance of Kedushin. The Hilchata Shirai Lo Tzrichei Shuma. So this goes back to the Machloket Rabba and Rav Yosef that we saw at the end of Daf Zayin on Friday's Daf, which was that the silk, did it require an assessment of its value? And over there we had a machloket between Rabba and Rav Yosef as to whether it did or did not. Rav Yosef believed it did require an assessment. Rabba said it didn't. There were two lashonot over there. One lashon that said that everybody agrees if he says kol dehu, any amount, then we don't worry about it because it clearly clears the threshold of a pruta. The second lashon says even in that case we require an assessment. And that is because Rav Yosef believes you need a finite amount that's been given for the Kesef Kiddushin. Just like Kesef Kiddushin, it has a known value, so too the object they use for Kiddushin, even though it clears the threshold of the Pruta, you need to know what the value is in order for it to work. That was Rav Yosef Shita. Rabba argues on Rav Yosef and says you do not need an assessment in those cases. So what the Gemara in a sense is saying here is, Hilchoto Karabo, that the Locha is like Rabba. Now, Tosafot already raises the issue with that, which is that we have a principle in Shas that when you have a machloket, Rabba and Rav Yosef, halacha k'rabba, that the halacha is always like Rabba versus Rav Yosef, with the exception of three cases. This is not one of those three cases. And so Tosafot is perplexed, first of all, why the Gemara, number one, says over here, halacha k'rabba, when it's obvious the halacha would be like Rabba. That's number one. Number two is, even if it was that we needed to say halacha k'rabba, that's not what the Gemara says over here. The Gemara says, Hilchata Shirai Lo Tzrichei Shuma. Doesn't even mention Rabba's name. Doesn't say Halacha Karabba. It just says Halacha is, on this Halacha is this way. So Tosfot is perplexed by both of these issues. Why does the Gemara even have to bring it down? And why when it brings it down, does it not bring in the name of Rabba? So Tosfot, first of all, brings an idea which he rejects here. He also, in the Gemara in Gittin, he discussed this as well, which is that when we say the halacha is like Rabba, maybe it's only or uniquely situated in the Gemara and Baba Batra, because that's where the statement's made and that's where the exceptions to the rule are. So maybe the halacha Karabba versus Rabbi Yosef is only in Mine the Baba Batra, only the Dinim Baba Batra. Tosfot rejects that and says that is not the case. It's a statement for Shas and not just particular to Baba Batra. So then, Amar Rabbeinu Tam, Da'at Lishminan, Didavka Shirayu Delo Tzricha Shuma, Lefi Shishumatan Yadua Kitzat. Rabbeinu Tam has a huge chiddush here, which has implications in our marriages today. This Rabbeinu Tam impacts on how we use the consideration in marriage today, which is that he says the reason that the Gemara Paskin like Rabba in the case of Shirai, in the case of silk, is because the value is somewhat known. The women are familiar or have a sense of how much it's worth, and that's why you don't need an assessment of the value. Ve'ein regilin letopo kolkach. And if people make a mistake, they're not off by a lot on the assessment. When they self-assess these types of things, they have a good sense of where it should be worth, and therefore you don't have to worry about it. Aval shar dvarim, other things where the value is not readily known or easily known, there you would need a shuma. You would need an assessment. And so what the Rabbeinu Tam does is narrows the scope of the locha being like Rabba in this case, and that's why the Gemara here said shirai. The locha is like him when it comes to silk. It's not a generic statement that the locha is like him. It's only like silk where people have a general sense of what the item is worth. In that case, it works. In the cases where people do not know anything about these or have no way to assess them, and they make big errors in judgment or assessment there, tzrichei shuma. Then he says the statement which affects us today, because there she doesn't rely on the value. She doesn't know what it is. The fikach. Nagua ulam the kadesh b'tabat she'in ba'evin. For that reason, we get married with rings that do not have precious stones inside of them. Why do we use a plain ring to get married? There are two reasons. One is because we don't want the ring to have writing on it or something on it where the woman connects with the writing, and therefore she's getting married with the sentimental value rather than the inherent value of the ring. Number two is we don't want this problem of assessment. We don't want to have it be complex in the ability to assess the value. Precious stones are not easy to assess their value, both because they're fakes, so you don't even know if it's a real one, and even if it is a real diamond, there's systems by which you can determine whether it's a good cut or bad cut, and the brightness and all the other factors that are involved in a diamond or other precious stones, which most regular people or lay people are not familiar with. And so now you have this problem, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that if you give a ring with a precious stone in it, that you are giving something that does not have a readily assessed value, and it will fail in terms of the Kiddushin. And that is our practice today, which is we only give a plain ring, a band. A wedding band is exactly that, just a plain wedding band, which is easily accessible in its value, rather than putting something more complex in there. And so that's why the Rabbeinu Tam explains why the Gemara didn't say Halacha Karabo. And number two, why it said it Shirai, because it only applies to Shirai, and because the Halacha is not across the board like Rabo. So therefore, it didn't make the statement Halacha Karabo. It says, in this particular type of case, it will be the Halacha like Rabo. Otherwise, the Halacha will be like Rav Yosef. So that's one answer the Balei Tosafot will give. The second answer the Balei Tosafot will give is that Rav Yosef brings a lot of support for his position. He brought over there Rayot, that he's right. He brought proofs to the fact that he could show that it's the case that you have to assess the value of an object when you use it to buy something. That Shava Kesef can't be some amorphous value. It has to have a finite value associated with it. And since he brought a lot of proofs to his position, you would have thought maybe the Halacha is like Rav Yosef. And therefore, the Gemara here at the Paskin like Rabba, even though normally the Halacha is like Rabba, because you might have thought otherwise because of the proofs. Then, the last thing that he says is, V'yod yesh mefarshim, shemachi lo kamar hilcha tuk Rabba, because over there we had two statements in the name of Rabba, we had the Ikadamre. So you would have thought if we said Halacha Karabba, that means the Halacha is like Rabba, like the first Lashon, and not the second Lashon. What it comes along to say to you over here is, Halacha Karabba across the board. That means it doesn't matter which one of the Lashonot, the Halacha is like Rabba in both of those Lashonot, which would mean that you don't need an assessment in a Koldo, and you don't need an assessment even when he gives the value of the item, you won't need an assessment. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's only in cases where she has some sense of the value. And therefore the Rabbeinu Tam does require that she know or understand generally or what the value is of the object, and that if she was to assess it, she wouldn't be far off its real value. The other answer is in Tosafot, she doesn't need to know the exact value. She's sumech dat, that if he tells her that the value is this, then she relies on that, and that's fine. That is the Rabbeinu Tam. Again, we're choshesh for that, and that's the way that we, in terms of getting married today, we make sure that it's a very plain item where it wouldn't be complex in assessing the value of the item. So there you go, to three different approaches that the Balei Tosafot have to why we need the Halacha Karabo in this instance. Rabban b'siyato say that the whole reason over here that it says v'hilchata is because it's just going through a list of hilchata. And in Ochanami, it did not need to tell you the din by Rabbi Yosef Halacha Karabo, but nevertheless, it threw it in along with a laundry list of halachot over here, and you can't make any or draw any conclusions from here, and they reject this assumption or this position of the Rabbeinu Tam that you need shuma for things that are not obviously or easily discerned in value. And their proof is in the fact that the Gemara here says halacha is like Rav Amar Rav Nachman, even though there's nobody in the Gemara that argues on that position. Despite the fact that the Gemara brings proof and supports that position, and there's no one who argues, the Gemara still says hilchata k'Rav Amar Rav Nachman. So you see here that the list here is not a list of hachra'a, rather just a summary of the entire sugya that we just learned by Kesef. Here's the list of things that come out of this sugya, and halacha, because they go through one after the next, including that halacha of Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. Alright, so then we continue now. V'hilchata k'Rabbi Elazar. The halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, so this goes back to yesterday's daf, where in the new sugya over there it said, I'm Rabbi Elazar, hidkachi li b'maneh, v'natan la dinar. It says, get married to me with 100 zuz, and he gives her 1 dinar, or a down payment towards it. Harezo mikudeshe v'yashlim. She's married, and he has to fill in the rest of the money that he owes her, because it's as if he said to her, almanat, meaning that we're going to get married with a pruta, and then I owe you the remainder of the money. So then it becomes a condition in the Kiddushin. If that's the case, the Kiddushin happens immediately with the first payment, and then the remainder is an IOU, but a condition. If he doesn't fulfill the Kiddushin will fall apart. If he does fulfill it, it will go through, but the Kiddushin happened immediately. Meaning that it won't be Kiddushin. The Mefreya, if he doesn't complete the condition, the Nafkamina is, if we said that she was not married immediately, you have to wait for the entire payment to be made, she accepted Kiddushin from someone else in the interim, she'd be married to that individual. In this case, if you say the Kiddushin are effective immediately, and then the other part is a Tanai, then if she accepts Kiddushin in the interim and he fulfills the Tanai, the second Kiddushin are meaningless, because this guy was first, because the Kiddushin happened immediately. That's the sheet of Rabbi Lozer, and we pass in that way. That's what Tilchotok Rabbi Lozer. And the last thing is Vihilchotok Rova Amar Rav Nachman, which again was the end of the first Amud yesterday, which is Amar Rav Amar Rav Nachman. Amar La Itkachuli B'maneh says, I want to marry you with 100 zuz. And it gives her collateral for the payment. Ena mikudeshet, she's not married, because he said, mana inkan, mashkona inkan. The money is not here, and the mashkon is not here. Neither of them are given to the woman to be kept. She didn't get the money. The mashkon is something that's going to be taken back. And therefore, there was no kesef kiddushin. There's no kesef kiddushin, there is no kiddushin. And that's what the Gemara says, that the locha is like that statement of Rava Amar Rav Nachman. There's like a conclusionary piece to everything we said to now, the locha, who the locha is like, and each of these interests. Right now, Gemara just dealt with, remember, we spoke about the three ways of kinyanim and kiddushin, keshef, shtar, and biyah. So, first of all, the Gemara dealt with the sources for kesef, shtar, and biyah. Then, the Gemara just dealt with, in the last sugya here, kesef, ketzad. How do you have kiddushin through kesef? And now we just completed that. Now the Gemara moves on to the second, which is, tarabanan, bishtar, ketzad. How does a shtar work in order to generate kiddushin? Katav lo al niyar, o al cheres. He writes to her on paper or on a pottery, a shard of pottery. Apo pish ein bo shave pruta. This is the key element here, that it's not worth a pruta. If it's worth a pruta, already he can get married to with the item itself because it has enough value inherently to get married with it. So here the point is that it doesn't have that value, and therefore the only means of getting married here is the shtar. And then he writes this, here it's clear he's writing to the father of the girl. Bitcha mikudeshet li. Bitcha mi'ureset li, bitcha li liintu. That's what he writes in the shtar itself. Harizo mikudeshet. They are married. In that way, meaning that the shtar itself generates the kiddushin. Now, matkifla Rabbi Zera bar Mamel, halodami haishtara lishtar zvine. We have a fundamental problem here, which is this shtar is not similar to shtarot of mecher, of transactional shtarot. Hatam. In those cases, mocher kotev lo sadai mechura lecha. In those cases, the person says, my field is sold to you. The seller is the one who writes the shtar. Hocha bal kotev bitcha mikudeshli. Over here, the quote-unquote buyer is the one writing the shtar, not the seller. The seller, in this case, would be the father or the daughter. And over here, it's the husband who is the acquirer that's the one writing the shtar. Avra ravo, hota minyona dekro. Over there, it's in the context of the pasuk, and over here, it's in the context of the pasuk. Hotam k'tiv umachar mi'achuzato, that the person sells of his possessions. So, b'mukher tala rachmana, the Torah says it's up to the seller. Hotam k'tiv ki ikach ish isha, that it's the husband who's the initiator, who's the one who generates the kiddushin. B'baal tala rachmana, here, the pasuk connected it to the baal. Where it says, Hotam Nami, over there it also ktiv, it says, In Yirmiyahu, again, the pasuk that we've quoted numerous times in Gitin, because it's the source for contracting in the Navi, which is, Sadot Bekesef Iknu, that you will purchase fields with money. So over there it's talking from the buyer's perspective. You will purchase fields with money. So Kari Bey, the Gemara says, no, don't read it as Yiknu, that you will buy other. Ikanu, you will have acquired fields, which means that the initiator is the seller. The buyer is using here, we're using the passive form of the verb. He is the acquirer of the field because the mocher gave him the item, was makne it to him, and therefore he acquired it. Not that he was the active party here. So they changed the verb from iknu to ikanu. So the Gemara says, my time akari be ikanu. Why did you change the Nikudot, under the word from yiknu to yikanu, mishum dichtivu machar, because you want it to conform to the pasuk that says umachar me'achuzato, that the seller is the initiator. So akhanami karibay, so do the same thing here by kiddushin. Instead of reading it ki kach, say ki yukach ish isha. When a man in the passive verb form says takes a woman, so then you could also make it in that why dichtiv, because it says in the parsha of Motzi Shemra, at Bitina Tati Li Ishazet. The father says, I gave my daughter to this individual. So you see that the father, or the quote-unquote seller, is the initiator. So you could do the same thing over here and change the Lashon to read Ki Yukach instead of Ki Yikach. Ikach means the active form of the verb, which sounds like the husband's the initiator, which is ki yukach, when you have acquired, which is the passive form of the verb, sounding like the father or the girl is the initiator. So alama rava hilchata ninhu. They are, hilchata can be read here as alacha l'moshe misinai. That's the way Rashi reads it. The difficulty with that is, the Gemara says, v'smechinu rabbanan nakrai. After it's alacha l'moshe misinai, the rabbanan connected it to the psukim. Well, if it is Allah HaLamoshi Misinai, why do you need to connect it to the Pesukim at all? So that bothers some of the Rishonim, and therefore they suggest over here that there are other reasons to add in the Pesukim. Either that the Hilchata here is not your standard version of what Hilchata means, as opposed to normally what means Allah HaLamoshi Misinai, Hilchata here means this is the Minhag, or this is the practice. And then the Gemara connected it to Pesukim. That's another way to deal with it, because that would soften the hilchata, make it less powerful, and therefore the psukim are supportive of it. The other way to deal with it is what Tosafot says over here. It says, Yishlamar, the shtar mecher lachur avi hilchata. That when it comes to transactional documents, that is the halacha l'moshe misinai. Ushtar kiddushim nafke miki ikach. That the reason that shtar kiddushim is initiated by the husband is because of the pasuk ki ikach. The bal kodvo. The dummy, the mecher. But it's similar to mecher. Vafakav daramar hilchata ninhu. Wait a minute, that doesn't sound like a good explanation over here, because here it written in plural. Hilchata ninhu means they are a halacha l'moshe misinai. Well, they are means two halachot. What are the two halachot? One is about transactions, the other one is about marriage. So it suggests that both of them are halacha l'moshe misinai. Tosafot brings proofs to the fact that sometimes when the Gemara speaks in plural, it's only referencing the single item here. It's not both of the items. And therefore he suggests that the halacha l'moshe misinai is applicable solely to transactional documents, but not to kiddushin. And kiddushin is learned out of kiikach. And that's why you need the psukim. Psukim help you with the kiikach. Versus the hilcha halacha l'moshe misinai, which takes care of the mecher side of this. Some suggest this. Hotam namiktiv. There it says that Yirmiyahu says, ve'akach et sefer amikna, that he took the documentation of acquisition. And over there, Yirmiyahu is the buyer. Yirmiyahu is buying from his relative, Hanamael. He buys it from his relative over there. And he says that I took, ve'ekach, et sefer ha-mikna. I took the document of transaction or acquisition. Now, why is he taking it? If he was the initiator of the document, it would be v'natan, that he is giving it. The fact that it's ve'ekach, I took it, means that the other party initiated it. That means that Hanamael, who is the seller, was the initiator of the document. So over there is proof that the initiator is the seller as well. And that means that this corroborates what's said in the Pasuk in the Torah. Torah says, "Umachar me'achuzato," the mocher is the one who is the initiator. And so too now, even though it says, "Sadot bekesef iknu," nevertheless, the reason that we read it as ikanu is because the Pasuk continues over there and says that Yirmiyahu got the document of acquisition, which means the initiator of the document was the seller. And so there you see again that the overwhelming evidence is that the seller is the one who does it, and that's why we differentiate Shtarei Mecher from Shtarei Kiddushin, where the Baal is the initiator. V'amarovo, Amar of Nachman. Katov lo on the Yaro Cheres, he writes on paper on a shard of pottery, even though it doesn't have a value of puta, bitcha mikudeshet li, your daughter is married to me, bitcha mikudeshet li, your daughter is betrothed to me, bitcha li the intu, your daughter is my wife, bein ayidei avia, ben ayidei atzma, whether it goes through her father, whether it goes through her herself, mikudeshet mi da'ato, if the father acquiesce, or the father is the party accepting, then it works. So even though the daughter accepted the shtar, that's fine as long as the father is on board. Because the approval needs to be through the father and not through the daughter over here, because the father is the one marrying her off. Which means that the case here has to be a case where she is not a bogeret. Because if she is a bogeret, then she's on her own, under her own auspices. The father cannot sit on her behalf. So here we're talking about either a ktana, or you're talking about a ne'ara. Now, as far as the ability of a ktana to accept the shtar, it's not clear here that a ktana can act as a shliach, or act as an agent. The accepting party over here is the father. And so, if the father is the accepting party and he allows his daughter to accept on his behalf, which means midato, How does it work here with a ketana? So that would narrow down this case to a case of a nara only. That's what some of the Rishonim suggest over here, that the only way that this works is if it is a ne'ara. If she is a nara, then since she can be appointed as a shliach and accept on behalf of her father, because she's already of age, plus her father still has auspices over her, it works. But in the case of ketana, it wouldn't work because a ketana doesn't have the ability to become a shliach, to become an agent for the father, because she's too young. She doesn't have the ability to acquire. So that's one way that you could learn it. The Ramban, on the other hand, says that the Kshushay Shtar over here can work even with a ketana. That even if a ketana accepts it, it works, because if he said, see, kibli kiddushich, by kesef kiddushin, that would work, and so too it works over here, where he says to her, go get the shtar. Now the Ran disagrees with that, with the Ramban, who suggests that because over here it's different. By kesef kiddushin, there's hana'ah. There's benefit in the item. The acceptance of the kesef, the money itself, generates hana'ah, and therefore a ketana can accept kesef or go out and be the recipient of the kesef because of the hana'ah aspect of it. But b'shtar, where there is no hana'ah, and the shtar itself is what generates the kiddushin, then as a ketana, she does not have the ability to be a shliach or to accept the shtar on behalf of her father. And therefore, the Ran says that it has to be talking about a na'ara here, not a ketana. The Ramban says even a na'ara can accept it. The Rosh says over here, the reason that ketana works over here, even though generally a ketana cannot be a shliach, cannot be an agent, over here it's different. Because a ketana cannot be, or a katan cannot be a shliach for other parties, for other people. But over here, in a sense, she's nogeya b'davar. When her father makes her a shliach, he's making her an agent to marry herself off. And so, in making her an agent to marry herself off, she is actually accepting something on her own behalf. And in that case, she can be an agent, because she is being zocha for herself. In the end, when she accepts it, she gets married with the acceptance of the item. And so, in that case, there will be an exception to the rule where a ketana generally can't be an agent for other parties. Over here, she's an agent for her father, but an agent for her father for herself, because in the end, that she's the party that's getting married. And in that case, shlichut will work with a ketana. That's why the Rosh says over here, works even with a ketana. And this machloket actually parlays into a secondary machloket, which is, what type of language do you have to use in the shtar? The brightot here divide between the language that is used towards the father, which is bitcha miuresedli, bitcha mikudeshedli, versus when he directs it to the girl, where he says, hari at mikudeshedli, hari at miuresedli. The question is, what happens if you change the language? According to the Ramban, it doesn't make a difference. Since the daughter can accept on behalf of the father can accept on behalf of the daughter, the language is not so dafko. Even if he says, hariat mikudeshet li, to a woman who is not a bulgaret, that would still work. On the other hand, according to the Ran and the Ritva, who suggest that the ketana cannot accept the kiddushin on behalf of the father, only in the ara, then if you wrote hariat mikudeshet li to a ketana, it would fail in terms of the kiddushin, because the ketana has no part, is not a party at all to this kiddushin whatsoever, and that language would fail. So that machloket about whether the ketana can act on behalf of the father to accept the kiddushin also parlays into that secondary impact, which is whether hariat mikudesh ali written to a ketana works when the father is the ultimate decider or acceptor in those instances. The Gemara says, Vihu shelo bagra. As we mentioned before, this is as long as she is not of age, because if she is of age, the father has no auspices over here, so it doesn't matter. But if she is a bulgaret, katav la on the yar al acheres, afo pi shein bo sheve puta, hariat mikudeshet li, hariat li li into, hariat mureset li. In this case where he says, you are married to me, you will be my wife, you will be my betrothed, in that case, mikudeshet, bena yedei avia, bena yedei atzma, whether she accepts it or her father accepts it, it works. Midata. That if she's the party now, she is the accepting party, because now her father will be a shliach, an agent for her, rather than the other way around, because she is the determining party. Bahusha bagra. Again, this is only if she is of age, where the father is knocked out of the picture, and she's the sole decider as to whether she gets married or not. In that case, then she decides. And if she decides yes, whether she accepts or sends her father to accept it, it will work, and the kedushin will go through. Now, Tosafot over here raises a serious issue, which is, we learned in the Gemara and Kittin together, that you're not allowed to write a shtar on something that it could be misdayif, something that can be forged. So, for instance, nayar machuk, erased paper, cheres, pottery, shards of pottery, those are things that can be forged, or they can be erased without knowing that they've been erased. And if that's the case, you can't use them for documentation. So how come over here the Gemara lets you use Niyar and lets you use Kli Cheres? It lets you use both of these items that can be forged. How does it work as a shtar, or why is it a good shtar over here? So there are different ways to deal with this. One way to deal with this is to simply say that the Niyar that we're speaking about here is good paper. The paper they were speaking about in the Gemara and Kittin was Niyar Machuk, was erased paper where you can't then tell. If it was erased again, you wouldn't be able to tell. And by a Kli Cheres, we're not talking about writing with ink on the Kli Cheres, but rather carving into the Kli Cheres, which then cannot be forged. If that's the case, then the whole question doesn't get off the ground, because the materials that are being used here are different than the materials used in Ketubot, and that leads to the difference in the conclusion of the Sugyot. So there are ways to differentiate between the case here and the case there in Gittin. The Rabbeinu Tam talks about a more fundamental difference, which is that it depends who you hold like. Do you hold like Rabbi Elazar, or you hold like Rabbi Meir? If you remember in the Gemara Gittin, Rabbi Meir believes that Edei Ktiva are Karte, and Rabbi Elazar believes Edei Mesira are Karte. So Rabbi Elazar believes it's the Edim that witnessed the giving of the item that determine the efficacy of the get and make it into a real get. And so it's over here by Shtarot that Edei Mesira are Karte. Whereas Rabbi Meir is Edei Ktiva that are Karte. And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, is if it's Mizduyach Mitocho, this is Tosafot the Shitato, if you remember the Gemara Gittin, Rashi disagrees with the Shita of Tosafot, which is that if you write it on a paper that can be erased, and there are Edei Mesira there, Rashi says that the Edei Mesira can overcome the problem. Since there were Edei Mesira, even though it was written on a document or a paper that could be forged, the Edei Mesira helped for Rabbi Meir to overcome the problem. Tosafot disagreed with Rashi and says that can't be the case, because then it's what's called Mizduyach Mitocho. It's inherently a problematic get. It's inherently a false document because it can be forged. Since something can be erased or changed in it, Rabbi Meir believes, even if you have Edei Mesira there, the document itself is not a document anymore. Because the document has the ability to be forged, it's called Mizduyach Mitocho. It's inherently pasul, the document, and it doesn't work at all. So that's what Tosafot says. The Gemara in Gittin that says that you can't use the Niyar Machuk, or says that you can't use Kli Cheres, that's according to the Shita of Rabbi Meir, who says that the Edei Ktiva Karte, and therefore if it's a document that can be forged, that makes it inherently pasul, and you can't use it. The Gemara here is following the Shita of Rabbi Elazar, that Edei Mesira Karte. And since Edei Mesira Karte, over here it doesn't matter that it's written on a Cheres or Niyar Machuk, because it's the Edei Mesira that count, and therefore you don't have an issue. Although Tosfot notes that over there it says, Lo yichshir Rabbi Elazar, ela b'gitin. Aba b'shtarot, lo. Rabbi Elazar has a statement there in Gittin that when it says that Edei Mesira Karte, you don't have to worry about the document being forged, that's only true in a get. But that's not true in regular shtarot. And over here we're talking about a shtar. So, lo, hani milei b'shtarot hamdot deraya. Says that's only true in documents that are specifically made as proof documents. And if there are proof documents that have to last a long time and have to be sustained and we're going to use them as a document of proof, then he agrees they can't be put on paper that can be forged or onto Kli Cheres that can be forged. On the other hand, when the document itself generates the kinyan, for instance, in the case of Gittin, where the get itself is what generates the divorce, but it's not there for the raya. Now, Tosfot points out it does double as a shtar raya, but that's not the main purpose of the shtar. The main purpose of the shtar is to generate the kinyan. By shtarot, that you are memorializing a kinyan that took place outside of it, then you need the shtar raya to be able to hold and to stay in place. On the other hand, if the kinyan itself is what is being done through the shtar, then you don't worry about it. And that's the same thing about kiddushin. The shtar over here generates the kiddushin. It's the kinyan kiddushin itself. And therefore, it doesn't matter that it's written on forged paper. It's much more similar to a get than it is to a shtar raya. It's like a get, which is it's generating the act itself. In that case, it only needs to be around for the moment of the act. You need Edei Kiddushin. The Edim Siyam give the shtar. Kiddushin is done. The shtar is not necessary or valuable anymore. Now, even though, it can double as a shtar raya afterwards, she has proof of it, but that's not the main purpose of the shtar. The main purpose of the shtar was to generate Kiddushin. And therefore, Tosafot says, according to Rabbi Elazar, you can write it on Cheres, you can write it on Niyar, and that's why the case here is a case of Niyar and Cheres, which can be forged on, because number one, it's Rabbi Elazar, and number two, these are documents that generate the Kinyan itself, and we don't need them to have staying power. Since they don't have to have staying power, it doesn't matter that they can be changed after the fact. All right, so now the Gemara continues. Boy, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Shtari sin shekatavo shelo lishma. You have a shtari sin that is written not the shame this isha. And he wrote it for another woman. He wanted to get married to another woman. And he said, Ariad Nekudeshet Li. And then he decided, the woman said no, or he decides to change his mind. So then he takes it over to use it with another woman. Mao. What's the denier? Havayot litziyot makshinan. There is a hekesh between get and kiddushin. And ma yitziah be'inan lishma. Just like a get has to be written lishma. Af havaya be'inan lishma. So too, havaya kiddushin has to be lishma. Odilmo. Havayot ladodi makshinan. But we have havayot. The creation of marriage will be connected to each other. Ma havaya de kesef lo be'inan lishma. By the case of kesef, it doesn't have to be done lishma. The way Rashi writes it is, you don't coin or mint the coins for this particular woman. Money is a generic currency. It's a fungible currency. And you use that for kiddushin. So you do that even when it's low lishma. So too over here. Afavaya deshtar lo be'inan lishma. Also over here, we also don't need it lishma. Your question becomes relevant over here, and it happens to be a machloket rishonim, which is shmo bishma. Do you need his name and her name written in the shtar kiddushin? If you're going to connect it to get requires, or fundamental parts of the get are his name, her name, you know, their cities, and then the hariat muter the chol adam. Those are the key elements of the get. So if you say that's the same thing, if you connect it to get, and you say shtar, which we do learn out of get, shtar kiddushin, it should require hariat mikudushet li, which is the lashon like hariat muter the chol adam, and then it should require his name and her name in order to make it equivalent to a get. So that happens to be the shita of the Ramban. The Ramban believes that you need shmo and shma in there. You do need their names in there. Just like you need them by a get, you need them by shtar kiddushin. On the other hand, the Ritva believes you do not need their names in there. Shmo b'shma is only necessary by gitin, where you need to know that it's lishma and it's for these particular individuals. By shtar erusin, you do not need that. And then there's the Tosfot Riazakein over here, who says that a middle position, which is that you require the husband's name over here, but you do not require the woman's name over here. Lo lishma means that he wanted to give it to Rachel and then he gave it to Leah. The woman's name is not found in here, but the husband name is found in there. Because as the Tosfot says over here, the bishtar kiddushin leket toref, shein sham elo shema ish, velo shema isha, velo zman. That there is only the name of the husband, not the name of the woman, and not even a date. That's all he requires in terms of what is inside of the shtar kiddushin. Tosfos Zaken also notes that even though in a get, you cannot have a tnai before the main section of the get, by kiddushin, that's not a problem to have it there. So he is playing somewhere in between. You see the Ramban requiring all the trappings of a get, saying shmo shema. The Ritva saying you don't need any of those trappings, and the Riaz Zaken saying you need some of the trappings, not all of them, of the get. So Gemara says, Bolter de bayo, other pashto. After he asked the question, he answered it. Havaya litziya makshinan. There is a hekesh between marriage and divorce, which is damri kro, v'yatza v'hayta. That's the source for the shtar kiddushin, is the shtar get. And so the shtar get, or the shtar of a divorce, is the source, and therefore there is a hekesh over here, and that hekesh would then demand that it be done lishma. Itmar, katavo lishma, v'shlomi data. So now, once you've already established that you need the shtar erusin to be lishma, does that lishma mean simply that the husband writes it for this particular woman and that's fine? Or do we need the woman's acquiescence or participation here? As opposed to get, where the husband can divorce her bal korcha, so there the demand of lishma is simply that the husband do the get or make the get lishma for this particular woman. But over here, where it's not enough that the husband has a shtar erusin for the name of the woman, because the woman has to accept. Maybe you can only write the shtar erusin or kiddushin lishma if she is a party to it, if she's a willing and accepting party. So that's what it says. Katav ol lishma v'shol midata. Rava v'ravina amrei mikudeshet. That works. But papa rav shravya amrei ena mikudeshet. It doesn't work. Amra papa ema time didhu. I'll explain the reasoning behind their shita. Ema time didi. And then I'll explain the reasoning behind my shita. Ema time didhu. What's the reasoning behind their shita that is mikudeshet? Connection between shtar erusin and get. Ma yitziya lishma v'shelo midata. Just like by a get, you write it l'shem the isha, but you don't need her participation or acquiescence because it can be given of bal korcha. Av havaya nami lishma v'shelo midata. So too, over here, you can say the same thing, that the shtari sim can be done in her name, but does not need her acquiescence in the case. And I'll explain you my position. There's a hekesh here between get and erusin. Just like by the divorce, you need the party who is granting the acquisition to be the one who writes the get or is a party to the get. Over there, the husband is granting the rights of the woman back to her. He's basically giving her back her being on her own, and that she's reacquiring herself from her husband. So the grantor of the rights is the husband over here. Af havaya bein dat makneh. So too over here, the party who's granting the rights into the acquisition is the woman, because she's the one now who's giving herself over to the husband. In that case, she is the makneh. She is the grantor of the kinyan. The husband is the one making the kinyan. Then she must be the party to the kinyan over here. As we've seen in other places, like with the mecher, the case of the selling of the field, the seller of the field is the one who writes the shtar, is the party of the shtar, because he's the makneh. He's the one granting rights or giving up his rights. So over here, by the husband who's giving the divorce, he's giving up his rights to this woman, and in giving up the rights to the woman, he's the makneh, and as being the makneh, he's the one who has to write her, it has to be midato. On the other hand, in the case of kiddushin or shtar kiddushin, the woman is the one giving the rights, or granting the rights. She's giving up her rights to her husband. And therefore, it has to be midata, and not midato. And that's why Rav Papa says, Eina mikudeshet, because she wasn't a party to this kiddushin. Meitave. Ein kotvim shtarei erusin v'nisuin, ela midat shnehem. You're only allowed to write these documents of engagement and marriage. Ela midat shnehem. Now, what exactly shtarei erusin v'nisuin are, it's not clear. We're talking about shtarei erusin over here. With the addition of the word nisuin, it's not clear what the addition is. You could just say, and that explained it, that shtari erusin kiddushin is the name of the document. That's what it was called. It's called a document of betrothal and marriage. Something to that effect. Others suggest that we're talking about erusin and nisuin. Erusin is the shtari erusin, and nisuin is the ketubah. Although, the question is, why do you need the woman involved in the ketubah at all? Because it's a one-way street. The ketubah is the obligations of the husband towards the woman, and why do you need the receiving party or the beneficiary to be a party to that? You only need a person to be a beneficiary to something when they are also obligated, or their obligations coming from them. So that makes sense with the shtari of sin, where it's a two-way street. Now she becomes obligated, or she's limiting herself to this man by marrying this man. So they have to have both parties involved. But by shtari nisulin, where if it's a ketubah, then she just gets all the benefits of the ketubah. Why does it need her acquiescence? So the answer that some of the Rishonim give here is that if the husband just writes the shtar ketubah without the woman, we start to believe that he's trying to do a knunya. He's trying to use the document to fake out his creditors and say that he has previous obligations to his wife. And so that he's using the document as a means to escape some other obligations that he has, because otherwise he would have the woman involved. And if the woman's involved, then we believe that it's a more likely that this is a real document and not just a document to escape from his obligations otherwise to creditors, even though you could claim that they are colluding together, but we're less worried about them colluding than him doing it on his own, trying to work his way out of a problem. So that's right, the explanation of the shtari v'sim nisuin, elamidat shnehem. So now, over here, it sounds like you need both parties to be part of this shtari v'sim. If that's the case, then lishmam shvol midata should not work. So my love, shtari v'sim nisuin mamash. We're talking about these documents themselves, and that would imply that shtari v'sim requires her approval or her acquiescence. She has to be a party to it. So lo, shtari psikta. These are talking about what we otherwise in the common parlance today is known as tnaim. So these are psikta, means that pasak, means that we are going to give to you. Pasak, which is we are going to supply this. So we're going to supply this into the marriage, you're going to supply this into the marriage. It's the agreement between the parties as to what they're going to bring into the marriage, whether it's the dowry from the woman's side or the pledges from the husband's side in terms of what he's offering. How much are you going to put in for your son? How much are you going to put in for your daughter? Such and such. If they go then and get married, there's a kinyan there. These are items that are acquired through statement, through simply speaking. What you have here in the problem of Tanaim is that they have an agreement between the parties, and there's no formalized kinyan between the parties in order to seal the deal. Since there's no formalized kinyan, you would assume that they're not binding, because there's no gemirat hadat, there's no closure to the transaction, and that means that neither party really committed themselves. So you have a problem here because they're done through amira. And Rashi over here says specifically that they have to be done bi amira, because people prefer them to be a milveh al peh, not a milveh b'shtar. They require that they prefer that these obligations be oral obligations and not written obligations, and therefore they will not document these items, and they don't want to write down the items. Obviously, if you write them down, then you enter into a new issue, which is that the shtar could act as a form of the kinyan here. But without a shtar, the Gemara says here that the marriage itself functions as the kinyan for the obligations that are in the Tanaim. So that's very important. It is a halachic circumvention of what normally would be the protocol for obligations, which is that you acquire a kinyan. Here we forego the kinyan because of the marriage. The marriage itself generates the hana'ah, or the context in which this all takes place. And because of that, the kinyan goes through. Now this has implications not only in halacha, but in secular law as well, that in terms of prenuptials and certain things like that, where you may not need the normal consideration to generate the obligations of the contract, if it's done in the context of marriage, marriage is a binding mechanism even without kinyan. And it works in certain places in secular law as well, just like it works here in halacha. So that the binding mechanism of kiddushin draws along with it everything surrounding the kiddushin. Now, if you remember, we had in the Gemara at the end of the Ketubot, there was an instance in which a father-in-law promised to his son-in-law a certain amount of money in dowry to marry his daughter. Father-in-law, Pashat Regel, declared bankruptcy and didn't pay the money. There the Gemara in Ketubot says that she sits around until she turns gray. And that this woman is stuck. Her father put her in a bad predicament. And until the father pays, the chatan has no obligation to marry her. And she can sit around and be stuck for the rest of her life because the father didn't pay what he was supposed to pay in that case. So Tosfos here says, wait a minute. How come the chatan just doesn't take the father-in-law to Beit Din? And Beit Din will compel the father-in-law to pay up the money. I mean, here they had the marriage. They had the kiddushin. Kiddushin over here says that that is a binding kinyan on the promises that were made before. So here the father-in-law made a promise. Just take him to court and make him fulfill his promise. Why is it saying over there that the son-in-law or this chatan could just say to the woman, you sit here, I'm not marrying you until your father pays. He doesn't pay, you're going to age and sit here without any luck. So why don't we just say, take him to court? Takes the father-in-law to court, they force the court, will force him to pay. Tosafot of Ir gives two answers. One answer is, he didn't want to be bothered to go to court. I don't need this trouble. If he wants to pay, he'll pay. Otherwise, this girl will sit around and it's her problem, not my problem. That's one way to answer it. The other way to answer it is the Rashbam. It says, Perish de davka kishmitocha tanaim amdu v'kitshu azniknim v'amira. The Rash from over here, and seemingly Rashi has a similar view of this, which is that the kiddushin have to be immediately after the tanaim. So that you have to go from the Tanaim directly into the Kiddushin in order for the Kinyan of Kiddushin to be binding on the Tanaim. On the other hand, if there is any gap or delay between the two of them, the Kiddushin no longer are the binding Kinyan for the obligation before. And that's the difference. Our case over here is speaking about where the Kinyan Kiddushin took place immediately after the Tanaim, and therefore it's binding. The case in Ketubot is a case where it took time. They didn't immediately, it was soon after, but not immediately afterwards, and that's why the Kinyan was not binding in terms of the Kiddushin forcing the Tanaim to be binding, and that's why he couldn't take him to court. That's how the Rashbam resolves the issue. The Rabbeinu Tam resolves the issue in an interesting way, which is telling about the way that he views the Kinyan over here. Rabbeinu Tam says, Hada amar niknim b'amira b'nisuin rishonim dafka. It's only in a first marriage. Sha'av may see it bito, when the father's marrying off his daughter, v'yeshbo kiruv dat gadol etzel chadno, that he has a lot of warm and good feelings towards his future son-in-law. It's because of the nature of the marriage that there's a lot of positive energy here, and with that positive energy, the marriage itself can act as the kinyan for the tnaim. On the other hand, avalahata mari bishnim, it was a second marriage. If it's the brother or the mother that does it, or it's a second marriage, over there we do not invoke this principle that the kiddushin are the item that seals the deal by the Tanaim. Why? Because it's already the second marriage. The father's a little more reticent or cautious in his gifting over here, and therefore we do not say that the kinyan of the kiddushin automatically draws along the Tanaim. It's very interesting, Rabbeinu Tam, which speaks to the nature of the kinyan here. He says the nature of the kinyan is because of the willingness or the excitement of the parties to enter into this. Therefore, the kiddushin generates a gemira tadat, even for the Tanaim. But in a case where the parties are more cautious about entering into the marriage, there, the kiddushin doesn't generate enough positive energy or gemira tadat for the Tanaim because exactly that, they're cautious. They're not so certain that it's going to work out. We already had one failed marriage, whether it's because of divorce, somebody passed away, whatever the reason is of the failed marriage, you are much more cautious than in the second marriage. And therefore, the kinyan, kiddushin, will not suffice to seal the deal in terms of the Tanaim. Right, so there you have in Tosafot three different ways to reconcile between here, the Gemara here, and the Gemara in Ketubot. Right now the Gemara says, Bia. So now we had Kesef, how does it work? Then we had Shtar, how does that work? And now we're up to Bia, how does that work? Minolon. First of all, how do we know that Bia works? Talks about someone who has an extramarital affair. The reason that the individual is chayav mita is because he engaged with a woman who is a bu'ulat baal. The terminology here is that she is bu'ulat baal. Why is it her husband? Because she is a bi'ula. Bi'a is what generates that relationship that binds the woman to this particular husband. Amalei Rabbi Zera the Rabbi Yabo, Vamila Reish Lokish the Rabbi Yochanan. Some say Rabbi Zera says this to Rabbi Yabo, or Reish Lokish says to Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, these are the peers of the two individuals. Here it's Rabbi Yabo saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So it's either Rabbi Yabo's peer, Rabbi Zera, or it's Rabbi Yochanan's peer, Reish Lokish, who are asking them the question. Kura zo shoshana Rabbi, ubala. It's so ugly to you. It's so unbecoming to you to accept the shita of Rabbi. Remember, the Gemara already asked us, how do you know that Kesef, Shtar, and Bia work as Kinyan Kiddushin? So the Gemara says, Ki kach, kicha, kicha, mistaya from for Kesef. Shtar is the Hekesh of Havayata Yitziah. How do we know Bia? Says, Ki kach, ishisha, ube'ala. Rabbi said from the word Bala, we learned that Bia works. How come Rabbi Yochanan all of a sudden is bringing a different source of Bi'ulat Baal? Why isn't he use the source of Rabbi, which is Ube'ala? Why isn't that sufficient? Mameid, Shiniknet, Bibia. Straightforward. Why do you need the limud from the extramarital affair? Imahotom Avamina Demikadesh Vahadur Boil. I would have thought, because that's Kiikach Ish Isha Ube'ala, that you would need Kesef Kiddushin and Bia to generate the Kiddushin. That you would need both of them, not just one of them. Kamash Malon, that is not the case. That each one of them is sufficient in of itself. You don't need both of them. So Matki Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel Imkain Yara Murasa Damar Rachmana Biskila. Based on your assumption here, Rabbi Yochanan, the Havamina would have been that Ki Kachin Shal Ube'ala means you must have Kesef Kiddushin and Bia. How do you ever have a case of a Nara HaMi'urasa? Nara HaMi'urasa is a special case in Kiteitze, where they are Chayav Mita, they're of Skila, as opposed to Chenek. Normally, a extramarital affair results in a punishment of Chenek. That is the punishment for someone who sleeps with another person's wife. There's a punishment of Chenek. The one exception to that is a Nara HaMi'urasa. Nara HaMi'urasa is someone who's engaged halachically, but has yet to consummate the marriage with Nisu'in. So she is a Murasa, and over there it says that she is a Bitula. She is still not a Bi'ula. So now you have a problem. You have a Naraha Mi'urasa. She was engaged halachically, yet she's still a Bitula. According to you, Rabbi Yochanan, how do you ever have a manifestation of such a case? How can you ever have a Nara Murasa who is a Bitula? Hecha Mishkachala. Di Aktish V'hadar Boyo Bi'ulahi. Automatically, according to your assumption, if Kikach Ish Isha Ubala means Kesef Kiddushin and Bia, that means that every woman who got married is also a Bi'ula automatically when she gets halakhically engaged, because there's no other method for engagement except for money and then Bia. So the Gemara says, Di da Aktish V'lo Bayo, Lav Klomo. Because if he just gave her Kesef Kiddushin and didn't have Bia with her, according to your Havamina, it would have been nothing. So how do you get a case of Nara Murasa? Amrua Rabbanan Kameda Abaye. Rabbanan said this over in front of Abaye, and he said, it's not such a good question. We haven't answered the question. The answer to the question is that the husband had Biyah with her Shalok Darka. So she's still a Bitula, but she's now married. She had Kikachi Shisha, she had the Mekesa Kiddushin, and she had Biyah, because we have a Hekesh of all Biyot are connected together, and this will suffice to marry her. Amrlo Abaye, Abaye says to them, Akan lo pligi Rabbi Verabonon ela be'acher. Rabbi and Rabbanan only argue with someone else, a third party. Aval bebal, when it comes to the husband, divrei akol im baila shaloka darka asad bi'ula. That if the husband sleeps with her shaloka darka, she has a status of bi'ula and not a bitula. So Abai rejects the assumption here that you can generate kiddushin through kesef kiddushin and bi'ah shaloka darka, and she'd still be deemed a bitula. Even though her bitulim are intact, she would not be deemed a bitula, because he says that when the husband sleeps with her, no matter how he sleeps with her, she is considered to be a bitula, as opposed to the machloket, Rabbi, and the Rabbanan have by other parties, which we're about to explain now. Mahi, what is this case? Titania, we have a braita. Bau alea yuda nashim, vadain hi bitula. Case where 10 men slept with a nara hameurasa. Remember, this is a woman who's engaged halachically, she has kiddushin, she has yet to have nisuin with her husband, and she is a bitula. As long as she is a bitula and halakhically engaged, any party that sleeps with her is chayav mitat skila and not mitat chenek. So the case here is 10 men slept with her and she's still a bitula. Kulan biskila. The Rabbanan say every one of them gets a chiyuv of skila for this woman. Well, how's that possible? She is still a bitula and 10 men slept with her. The only way that is if it was shelo kidarka. They slept with her shelo kidarka, therefore she remains a bitula, and every single one of them is chayav mita biskila. Rabbi Omer, Omer ani arishon biskila, hukulan bechenek. Rabbi says, no, the first guy gets skila, because until that point she was a bitula. After the first guy sleeps with her, she's now a bitula, even if her bitulim are intact. Even though he slept with her shelo kidarka, she's deemed, or she gets the shame bitula, and the subsequent 9 men that sleep with her are only chayav chenek, not chayav skila. That's the machlok between Rabbi and the Chachamim. And what Abaye says is their machlok is only talking about third parties. When a third party sleeps with Nara Murasa, they argue about whether she's changed into a bi'ula or a bitula. But in the case when it is the husband who engages with her, there for sure she becomes a bi'ula. Because in the case of the husband, the intent of the bi'ah is to acquire her. It's to make her into a wife. If that's the case, then she is, in essence, a bi'ula. Because he wants to change the status of this woman from being single to married to him. And that usually comes with her changing from her status from a bitula to a bi'ula. And therefore, he generates that transition. He generates that transition by marrying her. So if effectively he accomplishes the halachic marriage here, then he also accomplishes the change of her status from a bitula to a bi'ula. On the other hand, the Acherim over here have no intent on creating any halachic transition in this woman or changing the status of this woman halachically. And therefore, when they are having bi'ah shelo kidarka with her, then the Chachamim believe that she remains a bitula. Her status has not changed because she still is a bitula. Of course, Rabbi thinks that the violation of the woman, whether it involves her bitulim or not, makes her into a bi'ula, and therefore she's a bi'ula no matter what. But that's a biased position. So now we're back to square one. How could Rabbi Yochanan suggest that you would think that ki kachi shisha u'bala means kesef kiddushin and bi'a? If that's the case, you'll never find a nara u'murasa who is a bitula. How do you have a case like that? Forgot about the fact that shtar is also another method for generating kiddushin. You're right. By kesef and bi'a, you need both, kesef and bi'a. But by shtar, it'll stand alone. Ho'al v'gomer u'motzi. Because by the case of shtar, we learned it out from get. And just like get, standalone is enough to dissolve the marriage, gomer machnis, it's also sufficient by itself to generate the kiddushin, and therefore that statement of Rabbi Yochanan now will stand. So now, Rabbi Yochanan, hai u'ba'ala ma'yovidle. But if he learns out the fact that bu'ulat ba'al teaches you that bi'ah is a way to acquire the woman or have a halachic engagement with her, then what does he do with the word u'ba'ala that Rabbi used for that purpose? Now that's extraneous for him. That comes to teach you that this individual, kiddushin, can be generated through bi'ah, but an amai v'riyah may not be acquired through bi'ah. Sagadat chamina, I would have thought, tete mi kavachomer mi yivama. You can learn it out from a kavachomer from yivama. Ma yivama she'en niknet bekesef. Money does not work to acquire a yivama. Niknet bibia. Bia is the way that he acquires the yivama. Zosh niknet bekesef. And amai bia, where money does work to acquire her. And udin she niknet bibia. Certainly she can be acquired through bia. So bia should work over here. Ma, the Gemara says, the yivama she'en zguka bo'medet. Wait a minute, Yivama has a tzad chumra to her, which is the fact that she is in waiting. She's already bound to this individual beforehand. So, saka b'datz chamina ol b'chtiv im acherit yikachlo. By the Amai Ivriya, it says that if he takes another wife, hekisha katuv l'acheret. The Torah connects the Amai Ivriya to the other wife that the Adon takes. Ma acheret mikanya b'biya. Just like the other wife, you can acquire through bi'a, because that's one of the methods for kiddushin. I would think that amevriya also could be acquired through bi'a. Kamash malan, the word ba'ala means ba'ala, that only this woman is acquired through bi'a, but not another woman. Who's that other woman? The amevriya is not acquired through bi'a. Rabbi Isvara minale. Rabbi uses the word ubala to teach you that bi'a works. Where does he know that an amevriya cannot have bi'a be the acquisition vehicle? So here the extra hey in the baal tells you not only that bi'ah works, uba'ala makes it unique to her. Shmamina tarte, from there you can learn two things. One is that bi'ah for here, not for amayavriya. And the one most important thing is that bi'ah works as a vehicle for kiddushin. Ulurova. According to Rav of Damar, bahina sabrali. Bahina explained to me, ki kach ish isha ube'ala, kiddushina misurim li bi'ah havi kiddushin. Later on in the second perek, Rabba is going to tell us this din from Barahina, which is, why does it say, Kikach Isha Ubeala? That's to connect between the Kiddushin and the Bi'ah to tell you. Kiddushin that can result in Bi'ah is a good Kiddushin. Kiddushin that cannot result in Bi'ah is not Kiddushin. So for instance, if an individual marries one of two sisters, and he's confused, he didn't know which one he was, Mikadesh, that is not a good kiddushin, because that kiddushin can never result in bi'ah. He can never sleep with the woman that he married because he doesn't know which one, and that prevents him. That's not a good kiddushin. So kiddushin amisurin the bi'ah be kiddushin. Kiddushin shem isurin the bi'ah lo be kiddushin ma'ikal meimar. Now he doesn't have the word ba'ala available for any of these limudim. He learns the word ba'ala to tell you that kiddushin amisurin the bi'ah works. So imke nechtov kra o bi'ala. Then he should say kikach ish isha. Oh, ube'ala. Or, he had bi'ah. The fact says, my ube'ala, that the vava chibur, what does that do over here? Shema mina kulu. Therefore, you can all learn out all three things over here. You learn out from ba'al versus ba'ala that bi'ah works. Ba'ala teaches you this woman and not the amai bi'ah. And ube'ala, the vava chibur that connects it back to kikach and shisha, tells you that only kiddushin and serene bi'ah work, and you learn out all three things from that one word. Virabi, haibulad ba'al mayavidle. Well, Rabbi, who doesn't need Bulat Baal to teach you that Bi'ah works, what does he do with Bulat Baal? Hami Baile, Baalo Seh Uta Bulat Shelo Kedarka, Vein Achero Seh Uta Bulat Shelo Kedarka, and this is what Abaye mentioned before, that the husband makes her into a Bulat, even Shelo Kedarka, which is not true of third parties. Where it says, Umi Yitle Rabbi Hai Svara. Wait a minute, does Rabbi really have that Svara? Vah Tanya Bawala Yuda Nashim, Vadain Hi Betula. If 10 men sleep with her and she still is physically at Bitula, Kulam Biskila, they all get Skila. Rabbi Omer, Omer Ani, Rishon Biskila, Kulam Bechenek. The first one gets Skila, but the remainder are Bechenek, which means that the first one who slept with her made her into a Bi'ula. So what are you telling me that Rabbi thinks that an Acher cannot make her into a Bula? Over here you see that an Acher does make her into a Bi'ula. So I'm Rabbi Zera, Modi Rabbi Linyan Knas, Tukulu Mishalme. Rabbi says with regards to the penalty and the kenas that is paid here, every one of them pays. Meaning that even though as far as the death penalty is concerned, the first one gets skila, the remainder get chenek, nevertheless, all 10 of them pay as if she's a betula. They pay the penalty for rape or for sleeping with this woman inappropriately. They're going to pay the penalties or the fines for that, and they're going to pay as if she is a betula. So you see, Rabbi does have this shita. So my shnami kmiktala. Why is that the knas different from death? When it says shani altam damar kra umei taish asher shechav ima livado. The man who rapes her and against her will sleeps with the nara murasa, the man himself will be put to death, not the woman. Livado. He's learning from this livado. That means that only death is subject to this din, that if a man had slept with her already, he gets skila, but the remaining men only get chenek. That din is only applicable to mitah. It's not applicable to anything else beside mitah. And that's what it means levado. Only one man gets the death penalty of skila. Nobody else gets the death penalty. You can only have one person who engages with an amarosa be subject to skila. No one else. The Rabbanu would disagree with Rabbi over there and say that they're all subject to skila. What do they do with the word levado over there? We need it for this brayta. Umeitu gam shnehem. That both of them are put to death. Achyu shavim ke'echad divrei Rabbi Hoshaya. Until they are equal. They're on parity. That's the only case where there is a death penalty. Now Rashi learns over here that shnehem shavim b'nei onshin. They both have to be of age. That in order for this punishment to come about, both parties have to be of age. That means that the man has to be a gadol. And the woman has to be a gdola. If he sleeps with a ktana, gadol de baal ktana, they will not be subject to this penalty, according to the way Rashi learns it. Tosafot rejects that and says that he does not think that's the case, and he thinks that's wrong. But rather, Rabbeinu Tam Perush, ad shiyu shnehem b'mita achat. Meaning that they both have to be subject to the same death penalty. It's not saying that they both have to be of age to be punished, but rather they both have to be subject to the same death penalty. And therefore he says that based on the sheet of Rabbi Meir, which says that a Nara Murasa only applies to a Nara, not to a Ktana. So the Gemara there asks, for a Ktana, what is her din according to Rabbi Meir? So is she Mufka Gamre from the punishment of Skila, and there's no death penalty for her, or she's not subject to Skila, but she is subject to Chenek? The Gemara over there says, no, it can't be that, because Shtam Shavim. They both have to be equal. Perpetrator of the crime here, the person who sleeps with this woman who's a Nara Murasa, he has to get the same punishment as a Nara Murasa. If that case that you say that the Ktana doesn't get Skila, but she gets Chenek, then in that case, she'll be getting Chenek, and a man who slept with her will be getting Skila. And in Shtam Shavim, they're not equal, and they're not on parity in terms of their Mita. So you see from that the explanation of the word Shavim over here, or Shtam Shavim, means that they're both subject to the same penalty. So the only time that the man will get a punishment of skila is if the woman is also subject to skila in that same instance. But if she wouldn't be subject to skila, he wouldn't be subject to skila, and vice versa. The same is true. That's what they learn out of Umeitu Gam Shneihem. And then, Rabbi Yonatan Amar, Umeitu Isha Sher Shechavima Livado. That the man himself, if he's subject to that punishment, it's fine. So the Chachamim will learn, like Rabbi Yonatan, that Livado comes to teach you that if he alone has the punishment, then he's still subject to the punishment, even though the woman doesn't have that punishment. Rabbi Yochanan hai zvara min ole. Now, where does Rabbi Yochanan learn that out from? Rabbi Yochanan learns gulat baal to teach you that bi'ah is the vehicle for kiddushin. He learns out from ube'ala to teach you that bi'ah works by a woman or a marriage, not by an ama ha'ivriya. But then where does he know this tin that Rabbi is learning out, that bulat baal, that only the husband shaloki darka can make her into a bi'ula, but not other parties? Where does he learn that out from? In came nechtob rachmana bulat ish. The puzzle should have said that she is a bulatish. My bulat bao. Why does it say bulat bao? Shmami natarte. From there I can learn two things. Number one is bia generates balut or kiddushin. Number two is bulat bao. Only the bao can make her into a bula. Other parties cannot make her into a bula. And we learned that out from the lashon of bulat bao rather than bulat ish. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Yud Amud Aleph.